www.ccc.com.
This morning, as we're originally we intended to wrap up this series on life-changing conversations, and true to form, we're going to extend that an extra week. So if you've been around us for a while, you know that most of our series don't actually go the amount of time, but because there's just always things that come up along the way that we want to address. Well, this morning, as we geared up for this particular theme and idea of overcoming, there was just too much with the questions that we had to be able to really put it into 1 week. So we're going to stretch it out over the next two. That doesn't really have to affect our small group schedule or anything like that. But just want you to know this is kind of part one of two. We'll address some more things next week. And there's just one particular question we're going to address here. But before we start, I want to ask you to turn, if you've got a Bible, we're going to start looking at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 38. And it's just a story that this is actually a passage that I've been wanting to bring up and mention throughout this entire series, but I just kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off because it just didn't feel like the right time to do it. And as we kind of wrap up the series, this is a really, we're running out of time, so I've got to work it in. No, it's really significant as we head into this last week. So here's the story that's happening after Jesus has died and risen again and sent his disciples out to share the gospel with people. Starting in verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." And we'll stop there with the story. Now, as we've been talking about life-changing conversations in our series here, as you think about it, this is an opportunity where Philip does get an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, and he responds. But there's a lot more that goes on in this passage than just him telling the Ethiopian about Jesus. And it very much summarizes or is a great picture of the things that we've been talking about in this life-changing conversation series. So some of the things that it involves an element of hearing the prompting of the Holy Spirit. In other words, praying. And we've talked about how it's important for us to be praying, hearing God and also allowing him to do the heavy lifting in our relationships and in our conversations. So praying, it involves noticing. He hears what this man is reading. He takes notice of that. He also asks questions. It involves asking. And he asks him, "Do you understand what it is you're reading?" And that opens the door to further conversation. He listens, because he listens to the man's reply and then is able to interact with him in conversation. He loves him in the sense of he took the time to get up into his chariot to ride with him and to explain the scriptures to him. And then, after all those other things takes place, Philip gets an opportunity to share the gospel and tells the man about Jesus. And I think that's a great picture of what we've been trying to put into practice and working towards and learning about over the last 5 weeks or so. Ultimately, where we do want to land is being able to share the good news with people about Jesus, that he died on the cross, that he rose again, that he offers a way for us to be made right with God because we're not perfect, even though God is. And so he bridges that gap between us and God's perfection. So we want to be able to share that with people. But whenever the topic of sharing the gospel or evangelism comes up, so do the, but, or what about this? In other words, there are things that creep up in our heart that may hinder us, causing us to be hesitant to share Jesus with people. And I think we have to be able to deal with that. We have to work through that a little bit, or all of this idea of taking some time and training and preparation for being able to share the gospel with somebody isn't going to help if we can't get past those hindrances. So the final topic in the Life-Changing Conversation series is overcoming. Overcoming those fears, overcoming those hesitations, overcoming the obstacles that might prevent us from telling someone about Jesus. Okay? So this morning, we're going to dive into that with one of the first questions that has come our way. Now, this question first started as a specific question about a specific personality type. What if you have an introverted personality? Right? If that's your personality, you're a little more reserved than most people, how do you share the gospel with people? And I want to broaden that out this morning to talk about personalities in general. Okay? So it's not just an introverted personality. We'll talk about those who are more introverted, those who are more extroverted. Now, a little bit of background if you're kind of going, I don't know exactly what it is you're talking about, or need a little reminder. We'll go there. All right, so in most personalities, most personality types, there are two extremes or opposites when it comes to extroversion and introversion. An extrovert, this might describe you. You get energy from active involvement in a lot of different activities. You are excited to be around people, and you tend to energize others. You like moving into action and making things happen. Okay, be listening if this describes you or if you lean in this direction. These statements would generally apply to you if you are more of an extroverted person. I am seen as outgoing and or as a people person. I feel comfortable in groups and like working in them. I have a wide range of friends and know a lot of people. Or I often understand a problem better when I can talk it out loud or hear what others have to say. Okay, so if that describes you, you probably lean towards being more of an extroverted person. Okay, example, when Sherry and I first met, I was pretty extroverted, much more than I am now. We were often found ourselves in large group settings. We'd be going to a restaurant and have a group of people that were there. Sometimes 30, 40, 50 people would be gathered at the restaurant and everybody would be kind of hanging out, spending time. I was the guy who would bounce from table to table to table to table and meeting people. Or if there was someone new, I would try and find them and introduce myself and all that sort of thing. But I would only stay there for just a minute or two and then move on to the next table. That drove Sherry nuts. It really did. It was hard for her. I was far more extroverted, and she was more of an introvert. Now, if you're an introvert, here might be some qualities or characteristics that describe you. You get energy from dealing with the ideas, the pictures, the memories, the reactions, the feelings that are inside your head or in your inner world. You often prefer doing things alone or with a group of one or two people that you feel very comfortable with. You value having a clear idea of what you're doing before you take any action. Okay, so the following statements might apply to you if you're a bit more introverted of a personality. I'm seen as reflective or reserved. I feel comfortable being alone, and I like things I can do on my own. And I prefer to know just a few people really well. Okay, so that might describe you if you're more of an introvert. When we first met, Sherry was much more of an introvert. She was the one who would be sitting at the table having hour-long conversations with the people who were right there at the table with her, people she was comfortable with, and they would engage in conversation for a long period of time. It drove me nuts. That was not who I was. They say that opposites attract. At least in this area of personality, that was definitely true for us. So those are maybe more extreme examples, but we all have bits and pieces of both traits within us, okay? Yet most people would tend to lean towards one or the other. And maybe you can identify this morning which one you are. Are you a bit more extroverted? Are you a bit more introverted? Now, both introverted people and extroverted people have the same mission and calling from Jesus to share the message of Jesus with people around us. Right? That's not exclusive to a certain personality type. Now, the idea of maybe walking up to a total stranger on the street and starting a conversation about Jesus, that would probably be pretty intimidating for just about anybody, introvert or extrovert. However, for an introvert, that probably sounds like your worst nightmare, right? Not because you don't care. Okay, that's important to recognize. It's not because you don't care, but because it runs so contrary to who God has designed you to be and how he's wired you as a person. God didn't really wire for you for that, at least not on a regular basis. So, specifically, we'll dive into the first question. How does an introvert do evangelism in a way consistent with who God wired you to be? So what if I have an introverted personality? Okay, I want to share a few things about this, and I think what I want you to hear first of all is you, as an introverted person, you have some distinct advantages that you can use to your benefit in reaching out to people around you with the hope of Jesus. Okay, so here are some strengths that you have. First of all, you tend to be more sensitive when you approach people. Okay, you're more in tune with their feelings, their emotions. You're good at noticing the little things that other people overlook. Okay, so you tend to be sensitive. You also tend to be more thoughtful. You think things through before you speak. That is not me at all as an extrovert, just warning you. You think things through before you speak. Most introverted people I know speak less often, but what they have to share when they do share is very powerful. Okay, so that's an advantage for you. What you have to say, you could describe it as like a laser beam comment that goes right to the heart or the life of another person because you've given it a lot of thought. So you tend to be more thoughtful. You tend to be more patient. You're willing to let God use you over a long period of time in someone's life instead of just focusing on the right here and the right now and the immediate decision for someone to follow Jesus. And part of that is because you tend to build relationships with the people you reach out to. When you have the opportunity to speak about Jesus, it's going to have this integrity behind it and trust and a relationship to back it up. So you also tend to be a good listener. Everyone has a story to tell about their life, everyone around us. People have things they want to say and share, but we live in a world that needs a lot more listeners, people who will listen to other people's stories. As an introvert, not being a big talker automatically puts you in a great position to be a great listener. It really does. You tend to have open ears to hear what people are saying. Okay, and one last strength, you tend to be more dependent on God. You tend to be more dependent on God to work through you. And here's what I mean by that. We extroverts, have this tendency to rely on our own personality and our own strength to draw people to him or to draw people into relationship. That is not an introvert's wheelhouse, right? That house is not in your neighborhood. That doesn't work for you. You may even see your personality in many ways as an obstacle to overcome because of that, rather than a strength. But the result is that you often have a greater dependence on God, and that's a powerful thing. Okay, so those are some real strengths that you can bring into the process of sharing Jesus with people. You can use them to your advantage. Now, here's a couple of ways, though, that I'd want to challenge you with this morning. Okay, First thing is this. These are just some suggestions to unique challenges for introverts. Okay, the first thing is this. Reflect for impact. Okay, reflect for impact. So as an introverted person or someone who leans in that direction, you are naturally a reflective person. You're a thinker. You're going to process on your own internally. But be sure to spend some of that thoughtful reflection considering how to speak into the lives of people around you. Okay? Consider that. You likely won't be winging it when it comes to spiritual conversations. So consider ways you can intentionally engage in those deeper one-on-one spiritual conversations with people. So reflect for impact. Think about that. Second challenge would be this. Step into action. Step into action. One of the dangers for introverted people is that you can spend too much time reflecting and then you miss the opportunity to move into action. You've thought it through so far to the point that the window has closed on that opportunity. So be sensitive, right? Think it through, but make sure you step into challenging others. Be patient, but don't ignore the mission. Don't overlook it. Be a good listener, but eventually you've got to speak the truth. Okay? Depend on God. Trust God. But remember, He is planning to use you. So step into action. All right? So reflect for impact. Step into action. And then here's the third thing, is budget your people time. Budget your people time. And here's what I mean by that. Since you're as an introvert, your people time will likely be more limited than an extrovert will be. And so you might need to ration it out a bit. Make sure that you are leaving people time and people energy in your life, especially to connect with those who don't know Jesus yet. Okay? So those are three things that I wanted to challenge you with this morning. Reflect for impact, step into action, and budget your people time. As an extrovert, mention those things to you, but I also had to run these by somebody else because I'm like, this is not my personality. I want to make sure these are accurate. And she said, yeah, that's pretty good. And here's a few other things that I would like to maybe encourage you to challenge people with, blah, blah, blah. And I said, that's great. How about if you do that? So as I ran these things through and ran these things by Rachel, who is kind of our resident high-profile extrovert or introvert, right? She's up here often. You hear from her a lot. She has a few things to add, so I'm going to invite her to come and share one introvert to the other. So, Rachel, would you mind? Yeah, just like me heard.
Okay, there we go. First of all, introverts, you So it's
Wait,
funny.
Rob, can we cut her off? I don't know. No, I'm just kidding.
No. Yes, I am an introvert, big time, which you might find funny because I can be a comfortable up here, and I don't get stage fright too much or whatever. But it's when I'm in like crowds of people where I kind of start getting uncomfortable and nervous. So just so you know, I'm not faking it. I really am an introvert, and sometimes I have to stay at home all by myself for a while to re-energize. But anyways, some things, as Eric was sharing with me some of his ideas, it was all very, like, what he shared with me anyways was all very encouraging for introverts to embrace who you are and not be ashamed of it. And that was really, really wonderful and great. And I really appreciate the challenges. But a couple of things that I wanted to add. First of all, yes, embrace who you are, but don't get hung up on the label. And what do I mean by that? Eric just described what an introvert is, but he also mentioned that that doesn't exempt you from your mission to share Jesus with everybody. It's just that you're not going to be doing it like your charismatic, outgoing, extroverted friends. And those are the people that we all see, and those are the people that sometimes we wish we could be because they're just so bubbly and cheery and they can get along with everyone where we sometimes struggle. So embrace who you are, but know that you can do it differently and that there are other introverts who need to hear about Jesus who are like super intimidated by your extroverted friends or exhausted by them. So you have an incredible niche. No offense, I'm serious. But really, it's just that introverts have, I think you called it people time. Yeah, I call it social energy or whatever. So the challenge is to take that risk. So I think there's a balance between embracing how you are wired and being open to the opportunity when it comes to go out, take that risk, challenge yourself, and then spend the next 3 days at home alone. So, no, but it is really important to take care of yourself. So if you are peopled out, it's great. You need to spend that time with God, with the people in your bubble or whatever to fill up so that you have more to give. So it's important to give yourself that space, but also I challenge you and I challenge myself to watch for those opportunities where God calls you to have that conversation, even if it scares you to death. Try it, do it. And don't worry, don't get too hung up about what you're going to say or if you're going to say it perfectly. From experience, I know that introverts can really get hung up on that. But just be real, be honest. You can say, I don't know, or let me look into that, or let me think about that. And then go home and pray that God fixes anything that you might have said wrong. That's how I handle my parenting skills anyways. But no, it's really important that you're real because Eric mentioned that introverts tend to be more sensitive, and I don't know if that's the case with me, but like if someone's approaching me and I can tell that they're uncomfortable, like I immediately can notice, and it's like a kind of a wall goes up, and I'm like, you're really not being too authentic. So I just encourage you. It's going to feel awkward. It is. But it's okay. And you can even say like, boy, you know, I don't really have a lot of these conversations and this is kind of new for me, but here's what I know. Here's how it changed my life. And that's, you know, a lot of why we talked about sharing your story is to know what your story is, because sometimes introverts in the moment can kind of like go blank and can kind of like forget what they know. And so know your story, be honest, and watch for those opportunities. So I emailed you. Am I missing anything important? Okay. So that's my challenge from an introvert to introverts. I challenge myself in these areas all the time. It's not easy, but you know what? It's extroverts, and it looks like we're going to be getting to that in a minute. They have their own challenges. They might struggle to have deeper relationships or spending quiet time with the Lord, which is easy for us. So, own who you are, embrace it, but take those risks.
Thanks, Rachel. All right. One thing as we do this too, I wanted to suggest that when it comes to not just being an extrovert and sharing the truth of Jesus with people around us, but as it pertains to reaching out to people around us with the hope of Jesus who are more extroverted personalities, I think there are some things we should keep in mind as well. Someone who just pops over to the table to say hey every so often, like I would do, is going to have far less significant impact on someone who is an extroverted personality. Because what it is they're likely needing is someone who develops a deep, meaningful relationship with them. And I think that's important to realize. An introvert is going to be more open to conversation when there is a comfort level with the person that they're talking to. So we've got to build that relationship, and you should build it sometimes slowly and strong. Okay, so that's an important aspect. But also, be prepared to have multiple conversations. Okay? It doesn't all have to happen in one conversation, especially for someone who's more introverted. And here's kind of the key point or thought. Give an introverted person a chance to think things through. They're going to need that time. They're going to need time to process. So give them breathing space to consider what you're sharing with them about Jesus. They may need to think and process what you've shared with them before they can even respond. They'll likely have many questions, and they're going to consider those questions and think them out before responding to Jesus, and again, be prepared for multiple conversations. So give an introverted person a chance to think things through. All right? So what if you are an extroverted personality? Well, our extroverted people, we're going to spend a little less time on you. Not because evangelism is easier in some way, but because, you don't listen very well anyway. So we've already discovered that, you know. So why give you too much, you know? That's just me. But here's the real reason. It's not the social interactions that are the issue for you. Okay, your connections with people will probably come far more natural for you in regards to that. You have strengths that you can use. I will mention them. You tend to be a risk taker, right? You'll tend to take more risks than an introverted person will. You tend to be more at ease in conversation. You are generally more comfortable in groups, and you're adaptable in social settings, all right? So you walk in, you can measure it up and go, yeah, here's what I can do. Here's how I can fit into this. You tend to think on your feet a little more quickly in those kind of situations and will likely be more expressive. But there are some unique challenges for you, and here's what I want to challenge you with if you tend to be an extrovert or lean a little more towards the extroverted side like myself. And here's the first one. Be sure you have an outlet. Be sure you have an outlet. Unique challenges. Be sure you have an outlet. And here's what I mean by that. If you're an extrovert, you've got to put yourself in places where you can have those conversations. Not just with the people you're familiar with. Okay, I try to hang out as much as I can at coffee shops instead of working in like the office here at church because it's deathly silent for me. Now that's a dream for you introverts, I'm sure. We could rent out that space or something. But for me, it's like, oh, I'm just staring at walls, and that doesn't work for me. So I try to, when I'm working a lot of times, I'll try to hang out in a coffee shop or be out in a more social setting. We have to have outlets of where this can work. Funny story about how I saw introverted and extroverted play out in my two daughters who are sitting back there, Kayla and Megan. They don't know the story's coming, but a couple of weeks ago. After church, they were going home to work on homework, and there was a power outage in our area. Now, of course, due to technological advances, everything that they had to work on was through Google Docs. We had no Wi-Fi. They had no access to their documents, so they're like, how are we going to do our homework? So we gave them a few bucks, said, go to a coffee shop, use their Wi-Fi there, get some coffee, whatever, and so they did that. Now, Megan, who is a bit more like me in the extroverted area, I'm sure she was loving that. Like, man, I can sit here, I can do my stuff, I can drink the coffee, see the things going on around, there's music playing overhead. But about an hour and a half in, Kayla shoots me a text back, Dad, is the power on yet? This is way too distracting. I can't concentrate here. Right? Different personalities. If you are an extrovert, put yourself in those places, though, because you have an opportunity to interact with people there. And so try to have an outlet where you can have significant conversations with people. Okay? The second thing is this. Take advantage of situations or the circumstances that you're in. If you are an extrovert and you're in a crowd, use your social comfortability to meet new people, to build new relationships, to help others feel welcomed and included. Go out of your way to talk with some unfamiliar faces, especially new people. And I will say this, a good place to put that into action is here at church. It's very easy for us as a smaller community to tend to connect with the people around us we're more comfortable with. Introverts will do that, out of maybe necessity. Us extroverts, we just do it out of habit. However, we need to stretch ourselves and take advantage of situations and start connecting with people who maybe we're not as comfortable with or as familiar with. You know, I always think about this. If you need to talk to me and you're an extroverted person, you can always talk to me. I'm always up for talking. That's all right. You know, but this morning, look for some people who are looking for connection. And I will say this, that I know that there are people here who long to connect on a deeper level and to build friendships and to be more connected into our community. And yet, it's difficult to do that sometimes because we, even as a smaller community, we get into our little groups and we talk with those who we're familiar with. I want to challenge you with that this morning, especially if you are an extroverted person, because this is an area you can really make an impact here. But it's an area that also carries over to all the other aspects of your life. You're going to be able to do that in a way that's much more natural than an introverted person can do. So, you know, take advantage of the situations that you have. The third thing that I want to challenge you with is don't dominate conversations. That can be an easy one for us extroverts who just love to talk. Talk about anything, talk about everything. But we will have a tendency, as Rachel mentioned, we can often overwhelm someone, especially if they're more introverted. They're, you know, watch the body language. They're like backing up, backing away. Whoa, all right. Be careful about overwhelming or monopolizing a conversation. Remember, it's important still, even as an extrovert, to understand people and to know where they're coming from, to hear their heart, to hear their story. So go back to some of the things we've talked about. Ask questions. Talk less, listen more. Okay? So don't dominate conversations. And then here's the last thing I want to challenge you with. Remember your mission. Remember your mission. Ask yourself this. What am I accomplishing in my social situations? What am I accomplishing in my social situations? See, we extroverts do small talk super easily. But we have to work on getting past the superficial chit-chat sometimes, right? Instead of talking with everybody about everything, look for ways to get to deeper places of conversation with people. Now, when it comes to reaching out to extroverted people, one key thing is this. This is if you're reaching out to somebody who's a little more extroverted. Don't be put off by everything they say. Don't be offended by everything they say. They probably don't believe everything they're saying. They're working it out verbally, all right? They're working it out. So don't be put off and don't, it's like blowing smoke to a certain degree. Just let them talk. Extroverts will want to tell you what they think, but a lot of times they're processing out loud. That's what I often do. That's why I love Sunday mornings. I get to... Anyway, that's why we try and limit my time. focus. You know, oftentimes an extrovert will tell you what they think without giving it much thought first. And you may hear some things that alarm you. Don't overreact to that. Don't be initially offended. Just let them speak. You may ultimately get to a point that you understand what they're saying. The other day, I had a conversation with somebody who was asking some questions of me in kind of a mentoring situation. And, you know, he asked some questions, and I started answering, and then he asked a few more questions, and I was answering, and I began talking, you know. And there was a certain point in the conversation, even for me as an extrovert, where I shared something, and I went, there, that's it. That's what I've been trying to say. I've been processing it for about a half an hour, and I eventually got to the point that I was trying to make. I just didn't know how to say it because I haven't thought it out. I had to talk it out. Okay, that will happen with extroverted people. Eventually, you will get to a point where you understand where they're at. With an introverted person, you need to give them time to think. But with an extroverted person, you need to give them a chance to talk things through often. Okay, so one encouragement is give an extroverted person a chance to talk things through and space to do that. All right, so let's wrap this up. We're going to actually do a few more songs in a moment, but introverts and extroverts, we all have different personalities. Some of us are extremely introverted. Some of us are extremely extroverted. I would say most of us fall somewhere in the middle, in between. And regardless of your personality, God has created you that way for a reason. Your personality type has some strengths that will help you reach people with the hope of Jesus in a way that's consistent with who you are and who God's wired you to be. Use those strengths to your advantage. But each personality type, as we saw here, also has some unique challenges. It can be easy for us to think, it'd be so much easier for me to reach people with the gospel if God made me different. And if you didn't have these challenges to deal with. If you're like me, you want to be able to reach people with the gospel. But sometimes wonder, why did you make me like this? Because if I was a little bit different, I could do that better. But sincerely, understand that God has made you and wired you to be who you are for a reason. Those qualities, those personalities that he's given you, he's put those there. They aren't by accident. Because that's where, and the weaknesses or the challenges that we have, those are there intentionally too. Because that's where we have to depend on him. That's where we have to depend on him. As an extrovert, I might have a stronger outgoing people-person personality. But in the areas where I'm not strong, I have to be able to trust in him. And that's exactly how he wants it to be. He wants us to be depending on him. Paul, if you think about it, was a very big personality in the gospel. I mean, he was very effective at sharing the gospel, went into places, talked to total strangers, talked to crowds of people. All of that had an incredible impact. He also had a weakness that was in him that he made known in the scripture. He didn't tell us exactly what it was, but he wrote about this in 2 Corinthians. And I want you to hear these words as we kind of wrap up. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations and the ability for him to share the gospel with people and know what God's intent was, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because God's power is made perfect and made known in our weaknesses to the people around us. His power is greater than the limits of our personalities, right? We need to trust and rely upon him in that. So if there's one key final thought to leave you with this, use your strengths to your advantage, and trust God with your weaknesses. All right? Regardless of your personality, use your strengths to your advantage and trust God with your weaknesses. We're going to close with two songs this morning. The team can come on up. And as we close with these two songs, they, I hope, reflect the heart of this. The first song is the song I Have Decided. It's based off the old traditional song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. As we've decided to follow Jesus, we also have the opportunity to share Jesus with people around us. We know we're going to face opposition. We know there are going to be things that we struggle with. We know that there are going to be obstacles. But we've decided to follow Jesus, being focused on him, keeping the cross before us, and giving him all that we have. And the second song is a song of encouragement as we head into this, that remember that there is a God who is always with us and we don't have anyone to fear regardless of our weaknesses. So we're going to spend just a few more minutes as we close in worship. I'm going to pray and I invite you to stand as we close. Lord God, you haven't made us the way we are by accident. You've designed us to be who we are because you want to use us in specific ways to reach the people around us. You know exactly what you're doing. And so on our part, Lord, we want to acknowledge that we have some things you've given us as strengths to be able to reach out to people around us. And we want to take advantage of that, but we want to trust in you in the areas where we are weak. Help us to do that, God. But with all of our hearts, with all of our spirit, we want to right now just declare that we are chasing after you and we're trusting you. Regardless of what takes place in the world around us, we want to be focused on you because we've decided to follow you and we don't want to turn back. Help us to go forward in sharing the gospel and telling people about you, each of us in our own unique ways. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.